Welcome back to Corona Chronicles. In our last session, we were just thinking about verses 40 and 41 and looking at the importance and the significance of the women who did not abandon Jesus in his hour of need, but stayed there even to his death. And we were exploring the importance of the female testimony in Christianity, both then and now. And now we're going to look at another faithful witness who was around at Jesus's death, Joseph. So we're starting at verse 42. It was preparation day, that is, the day before the Sabbath. So as evening approached, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent member of the council, who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, went boldly to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Pilate was surprised to hear that he was already dead. Summoning the centurion, he asked if Jesus had already died. When he learned from the centurion that it was so, he gave the body to Joseph. So Joseph bought some linen cloth, took down the body, wrapped it in the linen, and placed it in a tomb cut out of rock. Then he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where he was laid.
Now, I mean, the gospel writers can't afford to waste words. And therefore, when there's sort of detail, it's a bit like the last one with the women. When there's detail in there, you sort of got to ask, you know, why have they put sort of this particular detail? Because they often miss out things that we would like to know. But you've got so much detail in here that it really does feel like a you know, an eyewitness account that's being given here. So we had the women last time. Now we've got, you know, we've got the day that this happened on. We've got a name of a man, and he's not just Joseph. You know, he's homed in on where he comes from. We've got Pilate there. We've got linen cloth that's used. We've got a tomb that was particularly open. We've got so, and then the women saw the tomb. You know, there's detail after detail after detail here that does feel like, my goodness, this is an eyewitness account.
It does, yeah, and it's like an underground mine, and each sentence here is like a tunnel that's rich with minerals. I mean, Joseph of Arimathea, let's start with him. He was a prominent member of the council. That's just really interesting because throughout the Gospels, you see Jesus is very critical of the religious elite. And in the main, they all turn away from Jesus and want him out of the picture. But this reminds us actually that there were some significant religious figures like him and Nicodemus who were waiting for the kingdom of God. They knew their scriptures, were looking forward to the coming of Messiah, and they saw that in Christ. And they were willing to bow the knee and acknowledge him, and even though they were so significant. And we're told that he went boldly to Pilate and asked for Jesus's body, which tells us that this was actually a risky thing that he did, because I guess in his position it would be unwise to be seen to be associating with the body of Jesus, with a criminal. And so that would have been putting perhaps his own career in jeopardy there. And so he goes boldly, and that just reveals that he really is committed to Christ and the kingdom of God. And so he's just it's just a wonderful testimony, isn't it? Again.
And then in that, in going, we see that Jesus really had died.
Yes.
So you've got testimony after testimony of this. So because Pilate's surprised, he's already dead. So, it normally took a bit longer. And then there's this investigation. So Pilate's not just going to take it from a follower of Jesus, just in case he wasn't dead.
Yeah.
And they take him down and revive him and all of that nonsense.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, we've got testimony on testimony. So Pilate, I mean, the centurion's not going to lie to Pilate.
No, no.
And the centurion knows when someone is dead.
Absolutely, yeah.
And that's why Pilate relied on the centurion. A dead man's a dead man. He knows what a dead man is. So you've got all of that going on as well, haven't you?
Yeah. And so, you know, the death of Jesus is confirmed, and then Joseph is allowed to go and get the body. And then we're told that he bought some linen cloth, took down the body and wrapped it in linen and placed it in a tomb. And there's so much we could say about that.
Well, I think we might come up to that later.
We might come up to that later. But, you know, to begin with, it shows again his kind of his affection for Jesus, doesn't it? That he takes him down and he's careful about the body. He doesn't chuck it into a tomb. He wraps it in linen. He looks after it. He wants to give it a proper burial. Because in this culture and in our culture, a burial is a very important thing, a proper burial. And when you look at later on in the New Testament, you see that the burial of Christ was actually really important. So in 1 Corinthians 15, when Paul is actually giving a summary of the gospel, he says Christ died according to the scriptures, he was buried according to the scriptures, and was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. So the burial is a way of saying that he really, really did die. Yep. As he was promised. So that's why this isn't just glossed over, this process of wrapping and burying.
Mm. And there's lots of other stuff in there that I think we might see another time, but the whole linen thing and, you know, you can go back to the Old Testament. There's a lot of stuff about linen and the linen man and linen being left by the priests and to show that atonement was done and all of that. So there's lots and lots of references here that are important. The fact that the tomb was cut out of a rock, it's never had a body in it before, all of that sort of stuff is all part of the prophecy, isn't it? But then we come back to the women.
Yeah, I know.
And again, you know, this is there, isn't it? This is so real. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where he was laid. Mm. They're not running away.
No.
You know, like the disciples are all running away. They're watching. They love this man. They don't obviously quite understand what's happened, but they still love him, even though, you know, they see him as just a dead man. And they're just watching and...
Yeah, it's part of their honouring. And again, that little sentence is once again strengthening the case for Christianity, because one of the arguments that people might make, although again, it's not so, don't hear it very much these days, is that the disciples went to the wrong tomb. And that they went there and they couldn't remember where he was buried. They saw an empty one and they thought, oh, he's risen from the dead.
Yes.
And they made a mistake.
Yes.
But actually, we're told they saw where he was laid.
Yes.
You know, they knew which tomb he went into, so there could be no mistaking it on Resurrection Day.
I mean, one of the worst things, I know we're not dealing with the resurrection, but I've got to throw it in now, but one of the worst ones I ever heard, and it sort of became a little bit popular, but it's just unbelievable that anyone would believe it, is that Jesus had a twin brother.
Yeah.
And the body was dead, the twin died, and Jesus sort of was hiding away. And it makes a nonsense of all of this.
Yeah.
Because Jesus is a fundamental liar, for a start.
Yes.
All of these people that were watching what was going on were totally confused.
Yeah, well, including his own mother.
And his own mother.
She might have known.
And didn't know that he had a twin brother. No one knew he had a twin brother except Jesus. It's just amazing what people do to twist and manipulate into unbelief.
Yeah, and it shows what our hearts are like. We're ready to believe almost anything to avoid bowing the knee to this wonderful king.
So how does this help us today then? How are people watching?
Well, I think it reminds us firstly that Jesus has come to call all sorts of people to himself. And, you know, whether...
Women, men, significant men.
People who have never grown up darkening the door of a church, or people who have been in church all their lives.
The centurion.
He calls all kinds of different people. You know, it's just another reminder that what we're dealing with is real history of a real man who really died and was really buried and was really seen and loved by real people. And, you know, this is eyewitness testimony that you can rest your life on.
Yeah. Not just a religious.
No.
It isn't just a religious fantasy book, is it? I mean, if you read the Bhagavad Gita about the gods of Hindu, it's all just nonsense. You know, they're sort of hiding, looking at women washing in the stream, and and Krishna nicks their clothes and all of that sort of stuff. It's just all made up nonsense.
Yeah.
And but this is just real historical stuff, isn't it? And even Islam, you know, you don't get this, do you? In the Quran, you don't get these details of an event that's happening like this. So we can trust it.
Yep.
Yep.